Can we keep that noise on while we're talking? I like that. Like, it sounds like today we're doing the show from the Vermont subway station.
Next up. Next up, Platteville. Next up, Platteville.
Train this is the last in. Stop in the Richmond district.
I feel like we're making an Adam Sandler CD.
Do you know where the number 2 bus is?
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
What
hey.
Do you want? Stay away from me.
I'm a DJ. Want to see my turntables?
Okay.
Notes from the Underground. Yeah.
Whee. Yeah, we're recording. That's right, fellas. And it's November 9th, 2005. And I've got Chris Tarantino and Skylar Tillene in here.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
And we got some great music for you. All kinds of good stuff.
Big show.
We've
got a really big show here. We'll be right back.
Eat some marshmallows, put it in your hair, stick it up your navel, I don't care. Pull it out your ear, whatever you want. That's the way it sounds to me.
Tummy tucks are good in bed.
Don't worry about how it feels in your head. Yeah.
Halo Benders.
Woo!
Same couple of guys from Built to Spill.
Fun.
And Vincent Price speaking in the background.
No, I think that's one of the guys from Built to Spill. That's like the bass player or something.
That was I'd like the Halo Benders usually. That was a good song. I just didn't like the talking over it. I thought it was Mitch for a couple minutes. Just being a dick.
Well, hey, someone called while we were playing that song.
Who?
Whoa.
Hey everybody.
Who is that?
It's Lee the Dork.
Yay!
Yes,
Lee!
Yay!
Hey, who I got on that end?
I got Chris Tarantino and Skylar Tillene.
Hey, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Hola.
¿Cómo estás?
And Mitch McAllister.
Hola.
¿Cómo estás?
Did you miss me?
Yeah, we did. Big victory over there in Virginia. The Democrats taking control. Fantastic news.
Yeah, I'm not in Powhatan County, though.
Oh, the county didn't fare as well as the state as a whole?
Well, there's a website where you can look at the voting results precinct by precinct or county by county, and Powhatan's pretty much 80% Republican.
Bring it up, Mitch. Bring it up.
Oh, okay.
He's right. What's it called? Cowtown?
No, Powhatan.
Oh.
Cowtown.
He said it was Republican.
Yeehaw!
It sounds like he's got one of those soundboards going. Like.
So how was your week, Lee?
Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why was it so busy? You checking out a lot of music?
Well, I'm working on these Christmas songs.
Oh, that's right.
Can we hear one?
And what was the
He's got a compilation going.
Oh, sweet.
What's it called?
I think it's going to be called Whole Lot of Santa.
Are you a musician?
Like AC/DC, a lot of Rosie.
Are you just a musician, or are you just the compiler of the collection?
Well, he's a musician himself, but he's both. But he's doing both.
I get friends of mine who have bands and whatnot to write Christmas songs, and then they send them to me.
Awesome.
And then I write my own Christmas songs, and then I give it out as a Christmas card. And I've been doing the original stuff since like 1999, and I've been giving out Christmas tapes every year since 1986.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
well, I'm excited. I'm going to get me one of them when it comes out. When are you aiming to release it? You're aiming to get it out by November, right? Didn't you have a deadline for submissions at the end of October or something like that?
November 15th. Merry Christmas. Here's me singing.
You got Mr. T with you?
Oh my God! Hey, hey T, come here,
dude. I saw this thing.
See, you got—he's kind of touchy. He gets pissed off pretty easy.
I gotta find the link. I saw the most outrageous thing, Halloween thing with Bobby Brown and Mike Tyson on the Jimmy Kimmel show. It was the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, Bobby Brown was dressed like James Brown, and they were doing this funk thing, and Mike Tyson was like, hey, everybody, hey! You know, and Mike Tyson was wearing a vampire outfit, and I mean, it was ridiculous. I don't
do
know
you remember and do you remember when Mike Tyson was like the scariest guy in America?
What, when he
like,
bit off Evander Holyfield's ear?
Well, I mean, even before when he was a well-respected, he was just like the fiercest, best boxer ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
when
undefeated,
Nintendo
and he was
sponsored
Iron
him
Mike
to be
Tyson
the
and,
yeah.
That was an awesome game.
Those were the days when Mike Tyson was revered.
Then Mike Tyson got punched out, and the Berlin Wall fell down, and all hell broke loose.
I think there was somehow a correlation between the two.
Well, hey, listen, we've got a little bit of a tight schedule tonight, Lee. We're calling in on a band that Chris is bringing in. We're going to do a little interview.
Bodies of Water.
Do you have some news for us, or should we roll into some music? I'm What's going down?
News.
Hey, man, it's your show. It's up to you.
News.
I've got, I mean, I pulled up the new releases and crap like that. I don't know if you care.
Yeah, give us a brief dork report, and then we're going to roll into one of the tunes from the band that we're going to call.
All right.
First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name, T.
Republican.
Hey, Lee, you got any questions for Bodies of Water? You know them, right?
I do not.
No, they're just,
how did your band get its name? There's my question.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to write that down.
How did your band get its name?
That's a good one.
Where did you guys meet?
Those are awesome.
Why are you guys so awesome?
Hold on. Let me. I have my three questions interviewing bands questionnaire here. Hold on. No.
I like the paper wrestling.
He's got like a Howard Stern studio there.
I carry it always.
There's a new Kate Bush album. There's a new Neil Diamond album produced by Rick Rubin.
Yeah, that's getting a lot of press.
Heard about that.
There's a new Beastie Boys Greatest Hits, Brave Combo Christmas album, a lot of Greatest Hits albums, a lot of Christmas albums. Eurythmics Greatest Hits. Blah, blah, blah.
Edge.
Interpol Remix EP.
Ooh, that's good.
Limp Bizkit's Greatest Hits.
Who's remixing that Interpol? Who's remixing that Interpol stuff?
Spoon does one.
It doesn't say. It's on Matador. I can click on the...
Oh, you mean like other Matador bands are redoing or...
No, it's Britt Daniel from Spoon, Dan the Automator, Arthur Baker, and then all the members of Interpol.
Mm. There you go. Arthur Baker?
Yeah.
Where in the hell they pull him out of?
The ground.
he was the go-to guy in like 1983.
In the 80s, yeah. His remix is good.
Looking
too.
For the perfect beat. Looking for the perfect beat.
It's like a beat. He's a human beatbox. We got Razzell on the line.
What, he had that New Order thing too. He did.
Oh yeah, that was a good mix.
And let's see, Cyndi Lauper acoustic album. Woo!
People are waiting on that one.
The Orb. Soundtrack to Smallville, a bunch of T-Rex reissues, Tragically Hip reissues, and those are the new releases!
Woo! The new releases!
Let's see. Here are some music headlines. You tell me if you want to hear more.
Okay, Madonna, give us a couple. We're definitely...
in new CD.
What's that?
Madonna, less opinionated on new CD.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
That is a
Michael Jackson.
I heard that when I was getting my hair cut the other day.
MJ what?
Michael Jackson might not live in the U.S. again.
Oh, bummer.
Right. Ozzy Osbourne to perform for Queen Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going nowhere.
Yeah, hey, listen, Lee, we're supposed to call MJ this other band right now. So
right half an hour ago.
Right. Yeah.
I've got work to do.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling in.
Real quick, what's the title of one of the songs on the Christmas album?
Christmas is Counting on Me.
Aww.
Mitch, you'll be the first one to get it when it's done.
Yeah, I want to get one. Hey, listen.
All right, man.
All right. It was good hearing from you. Let me know when I should call in to chat, to rap on your show.
Oh, well, I still haven't done one this week, so hopefully soon.
Screw you, Mitch. I don't want you on my show.
Oh.
I'll screw up your show.
All right.
Later, General
Bye,
Lee.
Bye, everybody.
See you, Lee.
Bye, Dr. Nick.
Bye.
Dear, when I touch your face, I can no longer hear. Thank you.
Call here. Hello.
Hi, this is David.
Hey, David.
David,
how you doing?
Pretty well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. My name's Mitch, and we got Skylar here.
Hey,
and Chris Tarantino, your friend, I guess.
Yes.
Best friend.
You guys are like best friends, huh?
He's a really good friend.
but not best. I thought you said we were BFF.
Pardon me?
BFF, best friends forever.
Oh, you're gonna have to speak up just a little bit.
BFF, best friends forever.
Oh yeah. Well, really good friends forever.
Really good friends forever. RGFF.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? How was your dinner?
It was terrific. We were at Casa Bianca. Have you ever been there?
No. What kind of place is that?
Oh, it's an Italian place. It's in Eagle Rock over on Colorado. They say it's the best pizza in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Are they right? There's a lot of places that say that.
Well, there's some pretty reputable people that make the claim for this restaurant.
And how'd you like it?
I liked it a lot. I had pizza. It was good. We had the tomato and olives. I'd recommend it.
Hmm. Casa Bianca.
Yeah.
Well, we already played one of your songs. We got one more left, but I figured we'd ask you a couple questions before we play the other one.
Go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay. What is your favorite kind of pizza at Casa Bianca?
No. I'm gonna say olives, and no, I'm gonna say the deluxe pizza. I think it has green bell peppers and sausage. They make the sausage there. It's I guess not homemade, but restaurant made.
I'll keep going. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh no. There's one other thing. I can't remember. I think maybe tomatoes are on it or something. Anyhow, all the pizza there's real good.
Have you ever had Masa Pizza in Echo Park?
No.
That, I think, is the best pizza in L.A.
Hey, what's the name again?
Masa. It's a bakery.
M-A-S-A.
Yeah.
Never had it. I'll check.
They do a Chicago-style pizza. It's a 12-pound pizza.
All right, David.
Yes.
I was just going to ask you, how long has, when did you guys form Bodies of Water? How long have you guys been around?
I guess 2.5 years ago, maybe. We kind of were playing casually at first, and then, the last year and a half, maybe, we started actually playing shows and recording and doing all the serious stuff.
And you, Meredith has described you as a... an indie rock savant, a musical genius. How many instruments do you play?
Me personally, well, I guess I can play a goodly number, but I'm only proficient in a few. I can play the guitar pretty well, and the piano all right, and the bass and the accordion, and
cool.
Those are the only ones that I'd claim to be able to.
How did you pick up the accordion? What inspired you to pick up the accordion? Because I.
Meredith bought an accordion for me the first Christmas that we were together, 5 long years ago.
Oh.
And then she gave it to me as a Christmas present. We found it at the Salvation Army in Fullerton, which I can vouch for is a great thrift store if anybody's in the area.
Ooh. When I was a kid, there was a record store that had a bumper sticker that you could put on your car. It was like a guitar store. And then it said, play an accordion, go to jail.
I think that the stigma of the accordion is thankfully fading now. But there used to be a lot of vehement accordion haters, and it's sad that things happen that way. But hopefully things are looking up.
Yeah, the polka's on the up and up these days.
Well, the accordion's making its way into all kinds of different music. I think there's an accordion track on one of the songs on our EP, which is, evidence for that.
There you go.
Right in front of all of us.
Don't Get a Wise, the accordion.
What song is that?
I think it's the last one, Love Will Call You By Name. It's kind of buried in there, but it's there nonetheless.
Let me ask you a question, David. How do you find playing in a band with your wife? It's you guys are a couple, and the other two people are not a couple. Are they their friends of yours?
Yeah, they are. Jesse, the drummer, she's my wife's best friend, I guess they'd say. And then Kyle, actually, he's a good friend of all of us. He's known Meredith since they were in junior high school together.
Wow.
But playing with my wife is, it's nice. I like it. We get along pretty well. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I prefer it to playing in a band that doesn't have my wife in it, because I've tried both things, and I'm enjoying the wife band a little more than I enjoyed the non-wife band.
Mitch was saying something before about they say when you're in a band, even if it's all dudes, it's like being with four.
Yeah, I've been in a few bands, and it's like I feel like it's like having four or five girlfriends, and I think it. I just think it'd be interesting to be in a band with my girlfriend and or wife, because I mean there is inevitably when you're in an artistic endeavor to have emotion involved. It's not just about getting this project done. It's about how you feel. It's about communication and all that stuff. And does that play in with some of the other members of the bands and and does being married and having an alliance with one individual play into, you know, and have a weird kind of effect on the rest of the band?
I don't know if it's weird. Well, I guess it's weird in the, you know, it's I think it's kind of rare that a band has married members in it, but I don't think that it's, I don't think that it makes things more difficult for people. I think, on the contrary, I think that it, Meredith and I have, you know, because we've been married, we've kind of resolved a lot of these kind of the issues that come up when you're playing with somebody in a band already, just because we've already kind of had to figure out how to get along together and
right.
And work things out and solve problems, and so we're not already kind of, we're not working that out like in, you know, on stage or in the studio or whatever. So I don't know, I think it works out okay.
Are there any husband and wife bands you look up to?
Yeah, I like Low a lot. I think they're really good. They're one of my favorite groups.
And there's a husband and wife duo, and that, and there's a
there's a husband and wife, and then there's this third wheel guy who's he's a great musician, but he's you know,
third wheel.
The third wheel nonetheless.
Actually, you know what I just realized? Yo La Tango has the same thing. It's what is it? Ira and Georgia, and then James McNew.
Yeah, I like Yo La Tango.
Another third wheel.
Same dynamic, yeah. The third wheel bands.
We actually have a listener question here for you. We had Lee from Virginia called in, and we told him we were interviewing Bodies of Water, and we said, "You're a big fan of the band." And he thought for a second. He said, "I don't know if I know them, but I got a regular stock question for him. How did the band get its name?" So that's from Lee in Virginia.
The band got its name. Well, we actually, when we first started, we were called Unicorn of Death, which, as you can see, got a lot of laughs from a lot of folks. But after we'd told, you know, 200 people what the name of the band was, it wasn't as funny for us anymore, so we decided we needed to choose something that was a little less novel and a little more enduring, perhaps. And I think Meredith and Jesse actually came upon the name. Meredith did when they were what were they doing? I think they were talking about wading pools and how it was in the middle of summer, and they were craving just any body of water to dip themselves into, and they decided that, you know, bodies of water were kind of it was just kind of a refreshing concept in a desert city like ours, and so we adopted it as our moniker.
Not bad. Well, it's a pretty nice website. I was going to ask you if you had like any sort of photographers or art directors in the group, because it's sort of well designed and there's a lot of nice photos on there, and a lot of the flyers. I like how you have a collection of your flyers on there, and they're pretty nice looking.
Oh, well, thank you. I think I made most of the flyers on there. Kyle's made a couple of them. It's interesting that you should say that, because this very afternoon, my wife and I were having I wouldn't say it was a heated argument, but it was an argument nonetheless. About
it might
the
have
fight.
Been heated.
Oh, it was a fight.
You guys got in a fight.
Give us the details.
She thinks that there should be a little, you know, there should be more panache, you know, a little more, some dazzling graphics. And I'm not as interested in that. So there's a little bit of tension on account of the website, but thanks for your kind words. I guess what I was getting at is that I studied art in school, and I did graphic design, and I do freelance graphic design here and there for people. So I guess I have a little bit of professional experience with that, but I don't know. I'm glad you like it.
I don't want to take sides in the fight, because, you know, I'm real good friends with both of you, so I don't want to
want to
pick sides. I don't want to ruin things, but I think that the flyers and the photographs, I think you guys have changed a little bit. The photographs you had up before, which are probably still there, but I didn't look, and the flyers are great. But I can't say whether the website could use more panache. That's, I think, a personal preference.
It is rather plain, I guess. Did you take the personality quiz on the site?
You know what? I did. And it was It was interesting. There's a series of pictures up there. Just two photos side by side, and it says, pick the one photo that appeals to you for whatever reason. And I ended up picking a lot of, I think it was a lot of color versus black and white, and I ended up choosing a lot of the black and white ones. And it said, you're a radical at heart. You'll probably be shot down somewhere by someone in a bell tower at a protest. It was sort of a weird, I was expecting, like, you're too needy. But instead, it was just like, you're bizarre. But it was fun. I can't believe you made those choices.
I want to check that out.
Who are you?
The test is about 80% accurate. That's what I've found it to be. So I encourage everybody to take it because you can really kind of maybe open a window into your psyche that, you know, otherwise would remain shut to you and everyone else.
Yes.
80% of the time.
Well, let me just shout out the website. It's Bodies of Water, just spelled as it sounds, all one word, bodiesofwater.net. And these guys are big alumni of the Mr. T's bowl scene. I know you guys played a lot there. They have a show.
Wait, Mr. T, that's my turtle's name, and he has a fishbowl.
And it's Lee's friend.
And we heard from Mr. T tonight.
Mr. T is definitely going to have to make it on the website this week.
So you got a show coming up next Thursday, the 17th of November, at the Silver Lake Lounge, if I'm not incorrect.
Yes.
And then another show at some point, possibly, you just found out about in December at the world-famous Echo.
Uh-huh.
So I guess to tell anyone who's out there listening to Notes from the Underground to check you guys out. And we're going to play Here Comes My Hand right now. But thanks a lot for taking the time out to interview us, man.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And congratulations. These guys just finished recording their EP not too long ago.
All right.
And I've heard it's doing pretty well for you. So good luck with all the shows. And hopefully people get out there to check you out.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling, David.
Take care.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
We, Yeah, okay, so...
I'd like to say thank you to David for interrupting his dinner and coming on and answering some questions and congratulate him on finishing recording the EP.
Yeah.
And to wish the whole gang of Bodies of Water best of luck.
I'm into that.
I'm into that big time.
Well, so, Skylar.
Yes, Mitch.
We got some music from one of your bands, too.
Oh, let's go. You know what I like to do on these rainy days? Go to the Northwest and play some jam band.
Go to the shortstop and get drunk.
Slow Motion.
Wow.
From Bellingham.
That was a long track. I don't know if I should probably just leave it. I don't know. Whatever.
No.
Might want to fade out.
Yeah. I think I fell asleep in the middle.
What?
I mean, we had time to talk. Dude, I saw a really cool thing on MySpace. MySpace.com/4-eyed-monsters is the coolest thing. I'm going to just show you guys when we're done. It's like this really kind of eclectic artistic couple in Brooklyn that...
It's a band?
No, it's a couple, like a guy and a girl.
Right.
And they are filmmakers, and they are making this documentary about themselves and how they met each other and how their romance started. And it's totally whack because, like, they didn't... You have to watch it. I'm not going to do it justice. But basically, the concept is that they didn't want to get to know each other by using normal conversation. They wanted to get to know each other through art.
Through their creativity.
So in order to connect to one another...
They went on MySpace.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, it's very funny, but not really. And no, I'm just kidding. So in order to, you know, yeah, in order to connect to one another, they decided to...
I think it's
do
great.
a bunch of really artistic things and
really
and document with, you know, with video cameras how they were, you know, each other and themselves, and they made this movie on it. And there's a video podcast and
a vidcast?
Yeah. Cuz you know how they have
Adam Curry, that word's mine.
Cuz you know how they have those new iPods that have video in it. So now there's all these video casts popping up. Mm-hmm. And
dude, with the decor here, we should totally do it.
Yeah, we
cast.
Totally should. They might get, you know, the bike hanging.
If you
could
see Mitch in his headphones and his tidy whiteys smoking a cigar.
Two men wearing plaid, one in
it
orange.
It would be worth it.
Anyways, I thought it was cool.
I don't understand why you have all the helium balloons in here every week.
Cuz it makes your voice higher.
How about? Because it makes your voice super high.
And your belly button in and out. I don't care. Make a shout.
And it's pretty much one of the funniest things in the world when you talk with helium in your mouth.
Do we have any more music?
Funny you should ask, Skylar. Because we do. And I was just looking that up here. We got a listener submission here.
Oh, yeah.
From Mr. Willis Thompson.
Willis Thompson.
Of the Lightfoot Work.
I was born in an exit row of Pan-American flight 124. When my mother came around, you know she wasn't sure the kind of trouble that I had in store. And I'm glad she came around. She spent so much time looking down. When I'm fine, sound. I evolved throughout the 70s into one of the West's most feared MCs. Every battle that I fought bring opponents to their knees, until one day I ended up back east. I had to face the hopeless realization of my race. Not erase the path that had led me to this place. We'll be right back.
and that's how we systematically get rid of the population. Is that we? Oh, are we back on?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
That's disgusting. Wow.
Didn't you ever see that movie? Who was that?
The light foot work.
That was awesome.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, I got it today. Really impromptu.
From Walter...
Willis Thompson. Funny enough, he's from Palo Alto, California, my hometown.
Oh, really?
Don't know the guy.
Are you sure?
Maybe they're from Stanford. Maybe they went to the college there, and that's the only place that they're all...
That's like, about an hour south of San Francisco?
That's correct.
Okay. Cool. I like that song. It was light and fun and...
You know what's funny is I was thinking today, because I heard this song on the radio from a band called The Church, which was like kind of big in like 1993.
Under the Milky Way?
Yeah.
That's a
with
great
the little
song.
Dog on the cover and the it was all Egyptian background and it was weird. Yeah. And yeah, Under the Milky Way with
tonight.
You. Yeah, whatever.
It's a good song in 93. I mean, it's still a good song. But
what was weird is that, like, I was, at the time, surrounded by people who like Santana, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin.
Gay people.
You know. No, I mean, you know,
no,
Rolling Stones.
An homosexual
and
way.
Like, I would try and say, hey, check this out, you know. And they would just be like, what is this Euro crap? And in hindsight, I'm really bummed because, like, I would like to have been more into, you know, New Order and Gang of Four and the Pixies and all that shit when they were young and like
prime
in their prime. Yeah. And I didn't really get into that kind of music till much later.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just think it's interesting how like different cultures you can be in a group of friends and they can all like this kind of music and they can shape what you do and don't
sure.
like.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to be, I mean, even though it feels good now that you're a little older and you know more who you are and you can walk around town and someone's like, oh, I'm listening to Santana. What are you listening to? And you're like, oh, Gang of Four. And sometimes they can say, I don't know what you're talking about, but you're like, I know I'm cool. But at that age in high school, college, you just want to sort of like, be able to have a language with people. And someone's like, I'm into Santana. And 50 people say that. You're like, well, I should listen to the Santana guy because then I have nothing else to talk about these people with.
Right, right.
I like Gang of Four. Get out of here, dude. We don't like you.
Yeah. It's like that, actually. It's like that, too, for me at work, because people, like...
Really? In MySpace?
No, yeah, well, not with music. No, definitely not with music, but with television.
Mm,
like,
me
television
too, dude.
Is that, like, that
me
one
too.
Thing, and I don't... I'm recording the show on Wednesday nights, when everybody else at my office is watching Lost.
Yeah.
And what show?
Lost.
No, what show are you recording?
This show.
Oh.
Yeah. No,
like
no,
TiVo
no. I don't have TiVo, first of all. I don't really watch TV, second of all. You know,
a
TV isn't really
years.
Like a big important thing to me. Not that I care whether or not it is. I'm not judging. I don't care if it's important to somebody else or not. You know, like, I rent stuff. Like, I got Arrested Development, the full season on Netflix. I thought it was really cool.
Did you pause it and make out in that?
Yeah.
Papa gets a treat.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's they're burning the banana. They're burning the banana stand. This is hot, you know?
I made out too.
It's not like Don Cheadle getting ass raped, but it's not bad.
I work at an actor's studio, and all day people are just coming in. And it's, you know, I mean, if you don't watch the show, then you're out.
Yeah,
actor's studio, like the actor's studio,
TVI actor's studio.
Oh my god,
in the valley,
another place.
Mm-hmm. I work there.
But yeah. I mean, I think it's still that way. You know what? It's it's not just like you get older and then you get wiser. I think some people do, and some people are still in that mode where it's like, you know, you can always tell when you meet someone and you're like, what do you listen to? And sometimes people are like, you know, it's on the radio. You're like, hey, nice to meet you, man. See ya.
Yeah.
And then there's like, hey, what do you listen to? It's really hard to categorize. All right, come here, let's talk.
Yeah.
And then you can talk about actual things instead
of
like,
would you actually not be friends with somebody who didn't have really eclectic music tastes?
Not really eclectic, but just we're absent from.
I think. I mean, it's the same. But to me, it's like saying I speak a certain language now, and I know enough people that speak that language that if someone watches Lost and all the top 10 TV shows and listens to all the top 10 CDs and doesn't go to see what I consider interesting movies, I don't have as much of a language to talk to them about. I wouldn't dismiss them and say they're a bad person, but I think it just cuts down on your commonalities.
Yeah, right. Or at least it's going to be harder. It's going to be a harder road to get to the really meaningful stuff.
Right. I think if there is,
you know,
because
all that stuff is really kind of superficial.
Stuff you really want to talk about. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it kind of is. But it also says what you're sort of willing. It's like, it's almost like if you said, I only eat McDonald's all the time. That doesn't mean you're not going to get along with someone, but you're like, hey, man, sometimes I want to go for Indian food.
What do you think about McDonald's?
I haven't had it in 7 years, and I went there.
Did you give up that and TV together?
I had a cheeseburger on the way over here. 7 years. Hey, that's, you know, whatever.
You had two.
Mitch.
What is Caitlin watching?
Dude, listening? It was $3. it was like $3 for two cheeseburgers. But no, with podcasting and video casting, I mean, do you think that everybody's going to get more benign or get...
Well, I don't know. That kind of brings us back to like what we were talking about during that last song is like, does modern technology change the landscape of entertainment?
Yeah.
And I think it does.
Totally does.
I think there's more bands reaching. There's more bands with smaller audiences now that are surviving on with those smaller audiences.
It's just like in the early 90s.
And it wasn't possible before the internet.
Yeah.
It's like with film. Like before, it was just like, it was Universal, Orion, Warner Brothers, MGM. They were like 5-10 studios that put out movies, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like early 90s, you know, Tarantino, Soderbergh.
Who had their cult following.
Who had cult followings, but then all of a sudden, like, Sex, Lies, and Videotape became like a hit, and Reservoir Dogs became a hit.
Yeah.
And people were like... Yeah. You know, Brothers McMullen, Ed Burns popped up, and it was like all these people just with like $50,000 could make a movie, and it became so much easier to do that. It's the same with Pro Tools and things on computer now.
Right,
anyone can have a band
now. Now movies are like that too.
$2,000, you can make a movie for $2,000,
and you can make an album for $50.
Yeah,
or a television
or
show.
Or free in your garage on Wednesday nights with two guys drinking beer.
Anyways. Yeah, so it's exciting to be a part of it.
But I think it's good and bad because I think it brings the quality down sometimes because it gives any schmo with a computer the ability to be like, I'm in a band, dude. I got a band. I'm on MySpace.
Well, it also challenges the notion of quality itself.
Yeah.
Right, and it makes people that are into music.
Because I think that they're like Peter Gabriel, for example, with his album So, you know, there the year that came out, that was like
89.
No. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Seven. I think no, it was before that. I think it was like 86 or something. I can't remember, but I remember probably being too young to really know the whole landscape of music, but feeling like that was as high fidelity as you could get with music recording. And that was the best quality when it came to, you know, writing music and you know, musicians and recording and technology and bringing all those together in one place. And it might have been at the time, but I don't know. I think that like he just had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think he just had a ton of money he was able to spend a lot of money and now I think that it's a different story. I think some people are spending a lot of money on analog recording because they think that that's got an aesthetic to it that they want. And some people are spending very little money on some of this digital recording stuff because they just want to write a song and have it get out there. But
I think that quality still comes through. I mean, you see independent movies that might have bad actors or bad cinematography or that you can see the boom come into the frame, but you can tell that someone just wrote this script and it's a great script. And you can listen to songs that are like a classic song, but the guy had $10 to record it and didn't have Pro Tools and recorded on a 4-track in his garage. And that can be better than a band who had $50 million in the studio with some big name producer.
I mean, I think we're saying the same thing. I think I think before you could spend a lot of money and that would boost your potential quality.
Right.
And now it's not even about money anymore.
Because the quality does
money can still affect quality, but it doesn't necessarily
mean quality.
Right.
You can still buy a great producer.
Right.
But you could still stumble upon a great fucking recording without even knowing what you're doing.
And the thing was, those major album or record companies and film studios had a stranglehold on things, where if you're Mitch McAllister and you're not Peter Gabriel or you're not in the Beatles, you might not be able to get your song out there. But if you now have Pro Tools and you're in your garage and you have a guitar, you could record that song, and if it gets into the right smart person's hands, you could get a con, and you could make from that lo-fi recording, you could get a career, whereas before that was not possible. Same with indie film.
And they're still trying to get a hold on things. I mean, isn't it Microsoft and NBC are in a deal to do video stuff together, or, you know?
I'm not sure. Microsoft is making a lot of really crazy changes right now. Like, I don't know how much longer the personal computer is going to exist.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have your desktop available, like, from any...
anywhere.
From any computer, like, in the not-so-distant future.
Like your desktop, everything on your desktop?
Yeah. Like, your Word files and your mess. You know how, like, when you go on someone's computer and there's a mess there? And you're like, well, just get me Internet Explorer, you know, and then I'll... And eventually, you're going to be able to access your mess from any computer.
Wow.
Yeah, totally.
And soon your watch. You can access everything from your watch. Laugh like, now,
this
Mitch.
This is a week after
But when
that.
I come out with my $20 album that I recorded in the mountains on my watch.
Well, how much different is your fucking cell phone? You know? I mean, that's the cell phones are like your watch. Yeah. You know? Like, you're right. We're not that far from it.
Well, you have an iPod cell phone. You have a cell phone that plays movies now, right? Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Grab me a brewski, would you, Mitch?
There's no more.
You
bastard.